You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, joined today by the fantastic Mr. Sam Davidson on the board, our producer and engineer. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, TGIF, Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in. We appreciate you. A little overcast skies here in downtown Madison for the world headquarters. And as we said, Zommers, who gave him a day off? No, it's a well-deserved day off, taking care of a little personal business. And we are so happy. Really, this is indicative of my sad dating life over the years. Every man I've ever dated left me. And so, you know, Zommers left me today. Luke Mathers left me. He's on vacation. But God love Sam Davidson. Thanks for sticking around, my friend.
I'm glad to be here. What are you going to do if I leave now?
I'm SOL. I'm absolutely SOL. For those that don't know, Sam is our great producer on the John and Gordy Morning Show here on WMDX in Madison. And I was filling in for Pat Kreitlow on Up North News Radio this morning. And at the same time, and I crashed into your show.
Yeah, I just heard this noise coming from outside, and all of a sudden in walk you with like a 40-foot-long mic cable from the other room.
Yeah.
Trying to do two shows at the same time.
We did what was the radio equivalent of the Triple Lindy in Back to School. It's an old reference. You ever see Back to School with Rodney
Dangerfield? I think I've seen parts of it, yeah.
It was filmed here at UW-Madison.
Right, yeah.
Sam is a proud alum of the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
I am, yes.
Badger. So, and the move, the made-up swimming move in that movie was called the Triple Lindy. So we used my cell phone as the camera, and yes, we strung a great big long cord over to the main studio. And so I was on the John and Gordy show, and they were on our show this morning. It was a lot of fun.
It was.
So, and the food around here today has been fantastic.
Yeah, we had a listener just drop off some sweets for us, which was completely surprising. I don't know if we've had that happen before.
Well, they see people love you, Sam. That's what it is. Now, you have a significant other. Do you have a Valentine's plans for today?
Well, I had Valentine's plans. I'm going to be out of town this weekend. I got to work up north, actually. So we did Valentine's Day last weekend instead.
Oh, look at you. I bet she's very happy.
Yeah, she. We went out to dinner. Enjoyed.
Look at you, Mr. Romantic. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know how to treat your person. So that's great. Well, we're glad you're all along as our Valentine's dates today. It's going to be a big show coming up here around 20 after this hour. We are joined by our friend Reed Galen, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project and now president of the spinoff called The Union. Difference is Lincoln Project is a little bit more political in nature with ads and that kind of thing. And then the Union focuses more on voter registration across the board and voter turnout and democracy issues. So Reed's going to be in. He has a great podcast as well called The Home Front, which is also his Substack. This is very interesting. Reed Galen is taking our friend Trygve Olson's 7 rules of how to deal with authoritarians and authoritarianism and going through it in his Substack and podcast. He's going to be on talking about that today, as well as tariffs, what that means to Wisconsinites. And this is great because we try to do it on this show, just take this fire hose of information and put it down there where the chickens can get at it, so to speak. And this is great. Reed's going to talk about what tariffs mean to us here in Wisconsin and also just why it's important to be a voter, as Luke Mathers likes to say, especially in this spring election. The primary, of course, coming up on this coming Tuesday, February 18th, big primary for the Department of Public Instruction here in Wisconsin, local elections as well. Check your local listings. And then the general election coming up on April 1st. So Reed's going to talk about that. And then in hour number 2, our what's worse for today, yes, a Valentine's day edition. Now, Sam, you're a romantic. You did a little something special, but I think a lot of people get a little annoyed because, you know, there seems to be a lot of pressure if you have a significant other to make a show of affection, and it seems contrived and made up to some people, and that gets people very salty.
Yeah. This morning on the John and Gordy show, which I normally produce, John apparently hates Valentine's Day with a burning passion. He hates the obligations that it brings, and apparently his wife hates it as well. So
really?
I guess it works out for the both of them.
Well, why did that take by John not surprise me?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can see how a lot of people feel this way.
Right,
they there's
do,
pressure.
I guess.
So we'll get into that and do a what's worse in hour number two. Right now, though, I want to make people aware, going to be perhaps in some parts of the state, a little dicey of a commute this afternoon. We have winter weather advisories for Pertner, as my granddad used to say, the entire state except the far northern counties, say Superior over to Ashland, Bayfield. But every place else south of that area is under winter weather advisory of some type. Brittany Merlot, one of our meteorologists here at Civic Media, says the snow will move in sometime between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon, depending upon which part of the state you are in. And then it's going to ramp up. And later this afternoon, all evening long into tomorrow, at some point, some of the snows could be heavy at times. Some places from the southwest and kind of curve up and to the right, say, take into Wisconsin Rapids, our listeners at WFHR, over to some of our listeners, perhaps in the southern portion of the WXCO Wausau listening area, over towards Green Bay, roughly that part of the state, maybe 6-8 inches plus. In some locally 9 inches in some places, slightly lower amounts north and south of that area. But it sounds like everybody's going to get something out of this storm. And then, wow, bundle up. Starting Sunday and into Monday and Tuesday, temperatures are going to drop. We'll struggle to have highs above zero a couple of those days as well. So have you got your parka ready, Sam?
I'm not looking forward to the cold. My house doesn't have like an actual heater. I just have like electric heaters around the base of the room. Yeah.
Those are not great.
No, it makes my electric bill crazy high too. So not looking forward to the cold, but we'll put up with it.
Well, a lot of people feel that way. So just be prepared for that. And when you get in that situation, I've lived in places like that as well. You have to open up like the counter doors below your sink to make sure the pipes don't freeze and all that kind of stuff. Because that just gets messy if that happens. So yeah, some seriously cold temperatures starting on Sunday into early next week. So be aware of that. Again, most of Wisconsin except the far, far north under winter weather advisories for today. A couple of headlines for you before we bring on Reed Galen here. According to WISP Politics this morning, Susan Crawford, who is the rule of law and common sense candidate, who is taking on the radical extremist Brad Schimmel. But Susan Crawford, the more reasonable candidate in the state Supreme Court race, their campaign has launched two new ads today hitting Supreme Court rival Brad Schimmel on abortion. So those ads are up and going today. Also, Congressman Mark Pocan here in Madison of the 2nd District putting out statements on Elon Musk and federal contracts there against, of course, that's been kind of more than a little to deal with. I might get into some of that with Reed Galen here coming up. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. It turns out that one of the contracts that was uncovered called for, I believe it was Department of State or defense, to spend $400 million in electric vehicles from Tesla, specifically from Tesla. And when MSNBC kind of broadcast this and made it aware, in real time, night before last, they went in and took out the word Tesla. And after it was taken out, Elon Musk asked Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, why the lie? Why the lie? After they'd already edited their own government contracts, what the government put out. So we might talk a little bit about that with Reed Galen as well. If you're looking for a debate between the two Supreme Court candidates, by the way, Crawford and Brad Schimmel, the two have agreed on a debate ahead of the April 1st election. Going to be on March 12th. March 12th, primetime 60-minute debate. Going to be before an invite-only audience at the Lubar Center at Marquette University Law School's hall. I'm assuming that Civic Media will most likely cover that as well. That is coming up on March 12th, a debate between the two state Supreme Court candidates. That should be very interesting. And glad that they both agreed and to go along with that, of course, as well. Speaking of electric vehicles, Quick Trip's electric vehicle charging stations project is now in limbo after a federal funding cut by the Trump administration. Now, this is exactly what Reed Galen's been talking about at the union and on his podcast and Substack. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, they said, quote, the current NEVI formula program guidelines dated June 11th, 2024, and all prior versions of this guidance are rescinded. All right. Reimbursement of existing obligations, quote, will be allowed in order to not disrupt current financial commitments, unquote. Governor Evers criticized the Trump administration's move, saying in a statement that NEVI, essentially electric vehicle programs, would have helped, quote, build infrastructure for the 21st century across Wisconsin, unquote. Quick Trip had intended in installing a bunch of these all across Wisconsin, places like Ashland, West Salem, Menominee, Chippewa Falls, and had planned to install more in 20 more in 2025. And now all of this is up in the air. Talked to a good friend of mine this morning, actually. She has a great idea. She said, you know what the governor needs to do next week with the state or the budget address coming up on Tuesday. I'll be anchoring our coverage along with Dan Schaefer and others here on Tuesday night for both the spring primary and for the governor's budget address. The governor should open up the budget address and say, you know what? Speaker Voss said that this budget was dead on arrival. I agree with him. But not because of Speaker Voss. It's dead on arrival because of Donald Trump and cutting the funding. This budget I put together is based on norms. Federal funding that they've already committed to Wisconsin. But we in Wisconsin can no longer, you know, have confidence in Donald Trump or the federal government. And therefore, if the federal government doesn't hold up their part, this will be dead on arrival. I think that'd be a great way for Governor Evers to open up his budget address next Tuesday night. Things like Head Start, Pell Grants, childcare, all up in the air due to Donald Trump. How do all these cuts affect Wisconsin? How do you deal with authoritarians and authoritarianism? Stay with us. Our next guest, Reed Galen, will break it all down for us. I'm sure he'll be open to taking your phone calls as well. It's the Todd Allball Show along with Sam on the 14th on Civic Media's Ready Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 21 past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, February 14th, 2025. Glad to have you along with us. Remember, the most of the state under a winter weather advisory, all except for the very northern counties along Lake Superior. Snow moves in sometime after 2, between 2 and 3 this afternoon. Several inches of accumulation are going to happen over the next 12 to 24 hours, making the drive home tonight in some parts of the state a little dicey, so be aware of that. We are happy to join our next guest or have him join us today back on the program here. He is the president of the union, also has the Homefront podcast and a great Substack as well. He was the co-founder of the Lincoln Project and now, of course, running the union, which has a chapter right here in Wisconsin. And as it turns out, a great travel partner for one of our trips across the state of Wisconsin, along with our friend Trigvi Olson. Reed Galen joins us. Reed, thank you so very much for taking time for us today.
No, thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me back. And it snowed 18 inches here where I live in the mountains of Utah last night.
So we got nothing to complain about.
The kids almost got out of school, but they did not.
Trigvy was on a tear this week on Wednesday, just grousing how Virginia got, 3 inches and the kids were home again. And when I was growing up and we had 20 inches in Wisconsin and had walked to school uphill both, he was salty about this.
Well, that's not new. I mean, 40 years ago when I was in elementary school in Northern Virginia, it was the same way. Right. It would be a little bit snowy, a little bit icy in the morning. And by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right, it'd be 40 degrees and sunny.
Right.
And it just, again, I think it's almost for folks inside the Beltway, Todd, it's almost like a psychological thing, right? Like right. They have to freak out. There's the idea that like an inch and a half of snow can bring the world's capital to its knees is just an incredibly indicative thing, I think.
Yeah, I well said. We already have comments on the YouTube. L.A. Tom watching out there in Los Angeles says, hopefully Reed will be on for the entire 2 hours. Well, he's welcome to if he wants.
Very sweet of you.
Also says, Rick Wilson, your co-founder there at the Lincoln Project, is the best as well. So a shout out to all the good folks at the Lincoln Project. Reed, tell folks that might not know this. I'll call this a spinoff. Maybe that's not the right word.
Sure, but, I think that's right.
Tell folks what led you to start the union, and for people that haven't heard, what it is and how it differentiates a little bit from the Lincoln Project proper.
Sure. So back in late 2021, Joe Trippi, who's a longtime senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, and I am a longtime Democratic strategist, legendary, we're sitting in a rainy coffee shop in Austin, Texas, and said, okay, we have all these millions of followers, whether on email or social media, what could we do to mobilize them in states at the grassroots level? Which was a pretty significant departure for Lincoln because it was a predominantly ad-making body, right? Mm-hmm. Political body, media body. And so we stood up the union in the March of 2022 underneath the umbrella of Lincoln with basically a website and a couple of people on staff. And it quickly grew to 70,000 plus volunteers and 100 plus partner organizations. Working hard both in that 22 cycle in places like Wisconsin during the Supreme Court race up there. And then this last year, we were all over the major states working really more at the state and local level. Obviously, as you know, as we saw when we were in Wisconsin, there was so much money and everything else being thrown at the top of the ticket. We really wanted to focus on those down ballot races. And so now as we turn the corner here into 2025, from our perspective, Todd, we really have to go back to the drawing board on everything. And I say this as someone who's not a Republican anymore and is never going to be a Democrat. I'm an independent, proud independent, have been part of the independent and reform space for many years, even before we started the Lincoln Project. And so from our perspective, and I saw this actually, I reference our trip in Wisconsin right before the election on an almost daily basis. And what I said was, I saw the best of humanity in those towns in Wisconsin, like Viroqua and Osseo and Wisconsin Rapids. And I saw the worst of politics, which was the politics wasn't nearly doing the job it should for its citizens. The system isn't nearly doing the job it should for its citizens. And I think a big part of that is that there are a lot of places where, if you're represented by a Republican, you're rarely going to see them because they don't really care. They figure, okay, I've got your vote. If you're represented by a Democrat, you're not likely to see them. They assume, okay, I'm going to have your vote. And what do we see? Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of voters who could have prevented what we're now dealing with chose Todd in the interest of everything else we could have had. I'm going to sit it out.
Yeah.
And so from our perspective, I think it's a really important thing to get people talking again, to reconnect communities. Look, when I say reconnect with your community, I'm not even necessarily talking about politics. I'm like, start a book club, go to the bowling lanes, right? Coach a softball team, a soccer team, just get involved in your community because there's so much noise and so much ugliness that's now being pushed down on us on a daily basis that in the moment, it's going to be really, really difficult to push back on that. So rather than screaming at the wind and beating your head against a wall, how about you turn back towards your neighbors, spend some time with them, and do some good? As we remember in that parking lot outside of Viroqua, we met Nancy, remember, who'd been a nurse in her community for 40 years. She was retiring that Friday. Like, there are Nancys everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we need to identify them. We need to encourage them to get more and civically involved, maybe they will, maybe a Nancy would run for office. But the reason why I referenced Wisconsin so much was because those green shoots of what we can and should be, not only as a state like Wisconsin, but as a country, are absolutely there.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm so happy to hear you talk about this. We had a woman, Eve Galanter, on the program yesterday. She ran a former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl's Madison office here years ago when I was working for my former boss, Republican Scott Klug. And we'd worked, as you know, you hear all the, people hear all the partisan stuff in the news, but oftentimes from the same state, congressional and Senate offices will work together on constituent relations, whether it's passports or Social Security issues. Those things never or rarely ever get on the news, but that's the real work if you're working for a good boss. She's now started this event called Wisconsin Civics Games, which is like the old quiz bowl for civics. This in any high school, whether it's a public, private, homeschool, can have a team. And the winners, these kids get $2,000 scholarships if they want to go on to any university they want. But it's designed to not be partisan and to talk about civics, talk about those things that in our communities, which we all should know, which we want immigrants to know, but when they're naturalized, but start there, right? Just be a human. I left you all 30 seconds.
No, I think you're 100% right. And that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. Politics, most Americans, it's our God-given right to ignore it. And Now we've seen what happens when we ignore it too much. But that kind of stuff is really what we need.
Come on back for Reed Galen from the Union. Your phone calls as well as the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on Friday, February 14th. Sam Davidson, the great Sam Davidson, in the producer-engineer chair for a vacationing Aaron Zommers. Sam, always happy to have you along.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, my friend. And we are joined this hour by our other friend, Mr. Reed Galen. He is one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project and now president of a spinoff of that called The Union, a pro-democracy organization. He is also the host of a very fine podcast called The Home Front. He has a great Substack of the same name, and he joins us here via StreamYard from a very snowy out west. 18 inches, you said you got? Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's, again,
a lot of snow.
We've lived here 10 years, and the kids have had 2 snow days, and I think they were both like 5-foot blizzards. So, yeah, this is nothing.
That's crazy. If you'd like to join in and ask Reed a question, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Reed, let's pick up where we left off or where we're, you know, for those who want to watch on the stream on Facebook, Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. YouTube, Facebook, whatever. We have a stream, and Reed and I were kind of our quote-unquote off-the-air show. Let's just pick up there. You know, friends of mine, a few colleagues have said, why aren't you more angry? Why aren't you so calm in all this stuff happening? And I said, well, it's not that I'm not concerned or not. I'm very deeply disturbed and bothered by what the Trump administration has done in 3.5 weeks. But I actually believed what I said on the air on the microphone before the election, along with you and others, that said if Trump got a second term, that for all intent and purposes, it would be the end of institutional democracy, at least that you could rely upon consistently, of the United States of America. I believe that's largely already happened or is the process of happening. Is that over-the-top reaction, Reed? What do you say?
I don't think it's over the top. I think we're both cursed. We have the curse of the Cassandra, right? To be right, but never believed. And you know, so I see all these things and let's just take one example. So there have been a lot of what I'm going to call inaccurate headlines. Federal judge stops X. Mm-hmm. Federal judge orders halt to Y. Well, they issued an order, right? No one is listening to it. Mm-hmm. And I said that last year when I saw an article in the New York Times with Stephen Miller, who's Trump's sort of, you know, Goebbels redux, that why would anybody think that they're going to listen to the judiciary, right? Mm-hmm. Because the enforcement mechanism of the judiciary belongs to the Marshals Service. Who answer to who? Pam Bondi, the new attorney general. right? Or maybe a federal judge could demand that the military haul Elon Musk before a judge. Do you think the military is going to do that with Pete Hegseth sitting there?
Nope.
I don't think is so. My point is, like, it's not that you shouldn't be concerned, not even that you shouldn't be upset, but you shouldn't be surprised. And if you're not surprised, then you can say, okay, what is it that I can do at this moment that matters? What is wasted energy, right? Doom scrolling, wasted energy. Screaming at the wind, wasted energy. You know, there, to use a terrible ocean metaphor, Todd, if you see the wave coming, you can do one of two things. You can let it knock you down, or you can dive under it and live to swim again. And I think that's what we need to do a little bit more of until we have a better understanding of just how long this tsunami of anti-democratic authoritarian action is going to last. And I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. The Democrats in Congress didn't have a plan. They, not surprisingly, we've seen a few places institutionally where, as we saw with this assistant U.S. attorney in New York, she resigned rather than give New York City Mayor Eric Adams a pass. But here's the other part, too, for so many of your listeners is, do your neighbors, one, care what's going on? Two, is it affecting their daily lives? And three, you know, he said this is what he was going to do, right? His, you know, I saw a survey, his polling numbers, he's like, he's 49 approved, 52 disapproved. That's as high as he's ever been.
Yeah.
And that's frankly pretty good for a modern day American president, who are more like French presidents, right? If you get to like 38%, like, you're doing well. So the fact that he's at almost 50-50, we should say a couple of things. One is, a lot of the country is tuned out, and not like we are, where it's like, I'm going to protect myself against the crazy. They're like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't want to see it.
Yep.
And he said this is what he was going to do. Why are you so upset about it?
Yeah, I know all kinds of people on both sides of the political spectrum. They're like, I just can't right now. I'm not paying attention. I want to get back to what you just said there. You wrote a great piece this week in your Substack from the home front. You're taking our friend, your colleague, Trygve Olsen's 7 Rules for Dealing with Authoritarianism. You're breaking it down in these Substacks. But you brought up this really great point I want to pick up on that you just mentioned here. And that is, how does it affect us in the United States? More importantly for this show, how does it affect people in Wisconsin? And you have a great example on tariffs. Share that with people, because, again, as my favorite Judge Weissman from Tennessee likes to say, put it down there where the chickens could get at it.
Right. I like that. I'm going to steal that. The example I used, and this is very amateurish because I'm neither an auto expert nor an economist, but tariffs are a tax on incoming products. The Republican administration has said that they're going to put a 25% tariff on incoming steel and aluminum. Well, we use a lot of steel and we use a lot of aluminum. About 60% of an American car, a new American car nowadays, is made up of steel. And so think about that. If now the parts that go into a car are, let's say, 25% higher, car companies don't make a ton of money per vehicle as it is. So they're going to have to raise their prices, which means that dealers are going to have to raise their prices, which means that people who were in the market for a new car might now, Todd, be in the market for a reliable used car, which means that, like we saw during the pandemic, although that was really related to a shortage of microchips, now the used car market is going to heat up, and those cars are going to become unaffordable, not for the person who was thinking about the new car, but for the person who needs it to get to work, right? And so now, instead of buying a 2019 Toyota Corolla, and I'm biased on behalf of Toyotas, they run till the wheels fall off.
Right.
Now you've got to get a 2011 Kia or something. Doesn't matter what it is, where, you know, there's probably a lot more wear and tear on it. There's probably the wheels are probably a little bit, run down. The brakes are a little bit run down, which means, okay, maybe you pay $8,000-$9,000 less for it, but you're also going to have to put $8,000 or $9,000 worth of work back into it. And what if it breaks down? And the people that I'm most worried about, and I think are going to be most harmed by this, are people that actually have to go to work, that don't get to sit at home, that probably are wage earners. They're in the service industry. This is not the kind of thing that, in an inflationary economy, as we're going to see, and tariffs will hurt in that regard too, they're the people who will be able to afford it the least and will be harmed the most. And the last thing I said, and this is more just as back to my infrastructure thing, is like, and in a lot of the places where these folks work and live, like, there's no reliable or desirable public transit to speak of. And so it just creates this very, very difficult thing where maybe now, you know, I had one job, Todd, now I got to go get one and a half jobs, or maybe that same car that I had to buy, I got to drive Uber with now because I got to make up the difference. And this is what happens when you just start throwing taxes on people. They're 100% regressive, right? Yep. If a car goes up 5%, I can probably afford it. If a car goes up 5% for somebody else, there's a really good chance they can't.
100%. And I think what you just laid out there, that's not affecting folks in more democratically voting areas like Madison or Milwaukee, where there might be more work from home jobs or that sort of thing. These are places like we went to on our tour, Richland Center, Viroqua, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, where they're trade jobs or they're you know, working people, where not that people working from home aren't working people, but they're more jobs where you have to show up. And you have to have reliable transportation. And oftentimes you're driving 45 minutes, maybe an hour, one way every day. Now, for those folks, and those are the areas that voted in higher proportion for Trump, those folks are now going to have to pay for or can't afford their car that they need to work. Again, it's a great example of voting against your own interests.
Well, I think that's right. But again, I think it's also important to understand that it takes two to tango here, which is, I think that for too long, Democrats have really just assumed that working class voters of all demographics, white, black, Latino, whoever it was, would just come to them because they said they were Democrats. It's clearly not true. Mm-hmm. And I would say this, too, is that I would venture to say that in some of those places that are probably more heavily minority, those folks might need cars to get to work too. And they're a lot of the people that stayed home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw this, you know, as we were driving around and when we were in Wisconsin Rapids, I think, and we were talking about the paper mill that had gone out of business. And, you know, over the last 30 or 40 or 50 years, you know, in the good old days of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, Todd, right? A lot of the upper Midwest states like Wisconsin were union states, right? They were heavily unionized states. And when a lot of that manufacturing went away, those unions went away with them, and the Democrats did too. Mm-hmm. And so all of these places that might have been blue redoubts for decades, right now we're just empty, and Republicans are rapacious, and they went in and gobbled them up. And all they're doing, they're not doing anything productive. They're just keeping people angry, saying, you may not like them, but they've abandoned you. They don't like you. They're a bunch of, you know, East Coast elites, whatever it is. And if people will, there's, you can't beat no, you know, a plan with no plan. And if it's like, no, everything's fine and you should vote for me, and the person looks around their neighborhood and like, nothing's gotten better in 15 or 20 years, like, that's not a good answer. Yeah. You have to have something on offer. It doesn't mean you have to give them something, but you do have to impart also, I think, a value proposition that you do care about them. That if you live in Viroqua, that, you know, you are the backbone of middle America, literally and figuratively. Like, yeah, you are going to be, and here's the other part too, and I know we got to go in a minute. Like, the country and the world will always need people who know how to fix things, because I can promise you and I do not know how to fix things.
No, he knows. Reed
knows. And yeah.
I need somebody to help put a sign up. So,
right. Well, listen, yeah, we're both Luddites. But the point is that those people can and should have every opportunity that everybody else does. And just because they don't live in a big city or a fairly wealthy suburb doesn't mean they shouldn't.
Reed Galen, president of the union, joins us, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. L.A. Tom joining us via Los Angeles, a Wisconsin native originally. L.A., thanks for joining us. What say you?
Absolutely. Hey, Reed. Reed, I know you're not a Republican anymore or a Democrat. You're an independent. But why is it that the Democrats can't hire someone like a Rick Wilson and go on offense in a very strong way? We're always on defense. I'm an FDR Democrat. I believe in Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I believe in good government. I do not believe in, you know, Ronald Reagan's idea of government's not the solution, it's the problem. I do not believe in money in politics. I do not believe in a lot of the policies that the Republicans have actually put forth. But I have gone to websites like selectacandidatequiz.com, and I've taken a quiz that actually, you know, brings us back to some type of normalcy in terms of what it is, you know, who it is you should vote for and what it is you really value. Yeah. And I'm just curious why it is that we can't on the Democratic side. You know, Bernie says that we have to, you know, be bold enough to be able to go against, you know, the money donors, and, you know, go back to talking about unions and talking about the things that FDR did. What do you think, Reed?
90 seconds, Reed.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One is, you know, years ago when I first started working alongside Democrats, I used to laugh, Todd, tongue-in-cheek, like, I can't believe we ever lost to y'all. And now I look back and I go, I can't believe we ever lost to y'all. Because there's this, so much of Democratic politics is predicated on fear. Mm-hmm. What if? What if this happens? If we do that, what if that happens? The world's going to go on, right? Not making a decision is making a decision. Choosing not to take it to your opponent is a decision. And the idea that you're uncomfortable, and I think it really goes back to the idea of belief, Todd. I think there are a lot of Democrats who are so, you know, divided up on, you know, whatever demographic lines have been assigned to them, that there is no North Star for the party. And if there's no North Star for the party, or there's no Bill Clinton or Barack Obama to provide that for them, then they're sort of at sea. And I think that it is a party very much at a crossroads, where you have a lot of people who are like, if you want to worry about those things and you live on the Upper West Side of New York, like, that is fine. Mm. But I have, like, real world things I got to worry about, and that's not on the list. I'm not anti anybody. Mm. I'm just, like, trying to figure out how to get my family. And the other part too, and I'm guilty of this, I thought being anti-Trump was enough. It wasn't. Yeah. We who are non-MAGA Republicans have to go out and say, here's what we're for.
I also like Brian Schatz, the Democratic Senator of Hawaii, who says, talk like normal people. I think that's important, too. Come on back for sure. One more segment with Reed Galen, president of the union. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock, top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which station you were listening to. A weather update, weather advisories for most of the state. Several inches of snow going to hit during the ride home, drive home this afternoon through tomorrow, so be aware of that. We'll have a weather update. And then hour number 2, including today's What's Worse, which is Valentine's or every other made-up holiday. We'll take your calls on that in hour number 2. Reed just says yes. Joining us right now for the rest of the hour, our friend, we always appreciate when he stops by, Reed Galen, the president of the union. You can find the organization at jointheunion.com and on all the socials as well.
.us. Jointheunion.us.
Oh, pardon me. Thank you. Thank you for the clarity. Jointheunion.us. And he also has a great podcast called The Homefront, of which there is a Substack as well. He was one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project and a former GOP strategist. We are happy to have him along. Reed, a few texts. Let's just catch up on these. This is Matt from Middleton. Earlier in the show, I called Brad Schimmel a radical extremist. That was something that is true. And Trigvy gave me that one. So shout out to Trigvy. Says, I'm frustrated and disappointed that we haven't been calling MAGA and the extremist movement from the start. They ran an extremist group and ideology, and that is un-American. John, listening to Milwaukee and WAUK, says, do my research on the Tesla contract. It was started under the Biden administration. Yeah, that's true, John. But the point is that it was denoted for Tesla. And then during the Maddow show a couple nights ago, Elon went in and removed Tesla and then said Maddow was lying, that $400 million was earmarked for Tesla. So yeah, it was started under Biden, but it doesn't negate the point that it was going to Musk and Tesla. Mount Horeb, listening here on Madison's WMDX, Troy. Asking about our friend Jay from London. We'll check in on that later. Steve in Milwaukee says it's a constitutional crisis, and these folks are cheering on the dismantling of the country. They are totally bamboozled. And finally, Kevin in McGuanago, there's a great name for you, Reed, Wisconsin name, from Milwaukee Station, says Trump is doing exactly what he ran on. The Democratic Party and liberal side of the aisle has become the screaming blue-haired woman of politics. Well, okay, I'm not sure about that, but what do you think, Reed?
Well, my grandmother was a screaming blue-haired woman, so I guess. I think it's important to understand, you just to go back to the text about the Tesla thing. Mm-hmm. This has been one of the key parts of Donald Trump's strategy, and it has been he's been very smart, and people around him have been very smart, is making the Democratic Party and Democrats as bad as he is. Mm-hmm. Right? We're all crooked. We're all dirty. We're all in on it together. They're no better than I am. They're no better. They don't care about you any more than I do. Right. You're getting screwed. I'm the only one who's going to tell you. You feel like put down by these people. I know how you feel, because he does. Right. Like he always wanted to be Mr. Manhattan, and he was always going to be Senior Queens. Like that's always how it was going to be. Like they never were going to accept him. And so that has worked for him. I think the Democrats, as I have tried to tell my friends, like if you're going to be the White Hats, Todd, you got to be the White Hats. Right. Yeah. Like if you're going to earmark $400 million for Tesla, right, even though you think that Elon's a bad guy, like you had better have a damn good reason for it.
Right.
And, you know, and if you are going to say, here's one. When I was with my team in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, we wake up and there's a headline. Paul Pelosi sells $83 million in NVIDIA stock before the stock market takes a nosedive. Like, I don't know the particulars of it, but the problem is the headline says exactly what Trump has been parroting. Right. Told you they're just as bad. They're just as crooked. They're just as out for themselves as I am. And so that's the other part about the Democrats. Like, if you really want regular people to come back, like you have to show them, not tell them. Right. As Schott said, talk like a normal person. Show them you care. Show them that you are better. Because right now there's just too many examples where otherwise disengaged voters can say, you're right. They're all crooked. What do I care?
Our time always goes too fast. About 2 minutes left here, Reed. Folks could go to, again, jointheunion.us. They can find you at the Homefront podcast on your Substack as well. What should people be doing? I know the union's always involved in voter registration. We have a very important Supreme Court race coming up here on April 1st, a primary, not for Supreme Court, but for other things on Tuesday. This election is going to be the election in the country this spring.
I think a couple of things. One is if you are able to get out and, again, talk to your friends and neighbors, gather people together, I wouldn't even necessarily make it partisan in nature originally, right? And I think I would just get people together and say, did you know there's a Supreme Court race coming up? Did you know this? And start those communications now, because as you and I saw, Todd, and I saw all over the country, if you're going to show up at someone's door 2-3 weeks before an election, and they've never heard of you, they've never seen you, they don't have any idea what it is you're doing or even really what's going on, because state Supreme Court elections are probably not particularly well attended, then it's just like there's too many other things going on. So you have to have a much longer runway to having those conversations. And then again, to your point about what Schott said, like, what does this actually mean for your life? Those are the kinds of things I think you have to take into account. If person A gets elected, here's what this means for you. If person B gets elected, here's what it means for you. And it's not high-mindedness. It's not anything about, you know, very narrow band issues. It's what is this going to do to you? What is it going to do to me? What is it going to do to our state?
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, 1 minute left here, but the Republican state assembly speaker and some of the people in the assembly, Republicans now, wanting to basically put parameters on postpartum care for women. And I've said, you know, if I were a Democrat, I'd be going out and saying, well, look, last time I checked, Republican women have babies too. If Republicans want to hurt women, it hurts all of women, and not just Democratic ones.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, Todd, is like, first of all, why?
Right.
Why of all the things you could choose to do, would this be the thing? Especially when Republicans are like, we got to have more babies. Right, so exactly. You want to have more babies, but you don't want to take care of mom.
Bingo. You always nail it. Reed Galen, jointheunion.us, president of the union. Reed, thanks for taking time for us. We got to do this soon.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day. Hour two straight ahead. A little Valentine's What's Worse on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.